It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, August 13th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. For older millennials, now in their late 30s and early 40s, these are supposed to be the good old days, when they reach their high earnings years, opening up a clearer vision of what their finances will look like going forward. But instead, millennials are seeing more clouds on the personal finance horizon.
A lot of people are struggling to envision past the next 2 or 3 years. And when they're not able to do that, they're not able to long-term plan for the future.
So why are these millennials facing more challenges than previous generations did at the same age? On today's show, we'll talk with personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter about that. Plus, we'll meet one 35-year-old who's reached his personal salary goals, but still isn't feeling all that financially secure. That's after the break.
I'm Alex Ewell, host of The Readback from Barron's. It's been an extraordinary year for stock markets, particularly for companies going public. IPOs soared, and they show no sign of slowing down. But the boom didn't come out of the blue, and there was plenty of pain on the road to IPO success. So how do you put a price on innovation? This season on The Readback, we'll find out. We're winding back the clock on a decade of IPOs, from Moderna and Facebook to Uber and Airbnb. The Readback is available wherever you get podcasts.
When Americans enter their 40s, that's traditionally the start of their high earning years, the sweet spot of their career. But for older millennials just hitting that age, that hasn't translated into financial security. So what's going on here? Our personal finance reporter, Julia Carpenter, has been covering the personal finances of millennials, and she's here with us to discuss. Julia, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So Julia, for past generations, what typically happens when workers hit this point in their financial lives?
The high earning years is the period when education pays off, when promotions come to fruition, when we see all of the work that people have put in the beginning of their careers finally start to pay off. So people will get that senior level position at their company, or they'll make a very fruitful career change, or they'll finally manage to cash in on an advanced degree or higher education. So this is when we see people sort of level up to their peak earning potential.
And so what are older millennials experiencing?
Right now, older millennials have just turned 40. The oldest millennials are 40. So this is when they would typically be entering that high earning year period. What we're seeing instead is that millennials are carrying a much higher debt burden. They're saddled by student debt. They've been greatly affected by both recessions, the Great Recession and the post-pandemic recession. So they're at a little bit of a delay when compared to previous generations.
Okay, and so what's getting in the way for this group?
The older millennials I talk to are pretty fearful of inflation right now. They're very aware that there's going to be things like childcare, eventually college educations that will be pressing on their budgets. I spoke to one woman about her experience, and she said that daycare is a mortgage payment. You know, when she was first receiving a little bit more income from her job, she got excited about crossing this new milestone, but then immediately all of that money went to daycare for her first child, and then a second raise went to daycare for her second child. So she saw just that her purchasing power was decreasing, and that's something that Pew Research Center says they've seen overall. The purchasing power of the average American salary is the same as it was 40 years ago, which in some ways can sound like a good thing. That means that it hasn't decreased, but in other ways it can look like a bad thing. That means it hasn't increased.
But Julia, doesn't every generation complain about higher costs?
Absolutely. And you know, when I was speaking to older people for this story, that's what they always said. They said, listen, every time you cross a new income milestone, there's something else. There's elder care for your parents. There's child care for subsequent children. But we're seeing that older millennials are already carrying this higher debt burden. The St. Louis Fed saw that older millennials' debt to income ratios are 23% higher than expected. They've also been greatly impacted by both recessions, so that they are seeing this drag on their income overall. And I spoke to one expert who said that that could be a drag they see on their income until they retire.
Now, how does this lack of financial security impact older millennials' ability to do financial planning?
There's an uncertainty and a sense of insecurity that hangs over them. I spoke with one woman who said she doesn't know how other millennials in her peer group are preparing for this, especially after these unforeseen catastrophes, the pandemic, and then the subsequent recession, now all these concerns about the Delta variant and what it could do for future income. I think a lot of people are struggling to envision past the next 2 or 3 years. And when they're not able to do that, they're not able to long-term plan for the future.
All right. For a firsthand perspective on this, let's bring in another guest. Tim Ng is 35 years old and works as a product manager in Connecticut. He's lived through several recessions and the pandemic, all while he's trying to set goals for the next stage in his life. Tim, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, JR.
So, Tim, at 35, you're just entering your high earning years and you've set personal salary goals for yourself. How's that going?
I think it's going pretty well overall. I'm trending towards where my goals are. And I think I'm getting to the point where it's not so much the money as it is the quality of life, the work-life balance, as well as the benefits and other perks that come along with the jobs.
And how are you feeling about that?
I think right now it is challenging because I think I'm at the point now where in order to go up in salary, I would have to take on more responsibility, either by increasing to like right now I'm a product manager. The next step up is a senior product manager, director of product management, or VP of product. And all of those encompass additional, many more significant responsibility increases and also require additional time being required.
Now, looking back to when you set those goals, how is it different than what you're feeling today?
I would say that the bar that I set for myself back then, as I'm reaching those or exceeding those goals of where I was at, are continuing to increase. And it's not because of not only a desire to grow for myself, but also the realization of the cost of living increases as I grow a family, as well as the increased expenses from both inflation and even general lifestyle creep.
How did the pandemic cause you to adjust your salary outlook going forward?
I'm a unique case, primarily because I've actually suffered the loss of a few family members, both my mom and dad. So I think the main goal is for me to try to focus more on the quality of life, realizing that life is on the shorter side, but at the same time, ensuring that I'm being more proactive with my savings, being able to invest more to make sure that for both my wife and my daughter, who's 16 months, to be able to have a comfortable life in the event that something were to happen.
I'm very sorry to hear about your parents. You know, Tim, when you map out goals like salary for upcoming segments of your life, it's kind of an inexact science. You don't know what's going to happen down the line. But if you could redraw those goals, would you do anything differently?
I definitely agree that it is extremely difficult. I think where I would have gone differently is I would have taken advantage of long-term growth and compounding interest in investing heavier in stocks. Even factoring in the recession back in 2009, I think the trajectory of the market continued to have an upward trend. So I think if I were more aggressive in some of my stock investments and heavily weighted it towards that versus the lower interest savings accounts, I think that would have been a bigger benefit and where I would have taken advantage of.
All right, that's Connecticut resident Tim Ng with us. Tim, it's been great having you on the show.
Thanks for having me, JR. Really appreciate it.
So, Julia, we keep hearing about plenty of job openings. And, you know, along with older generations like baby boomers retiring, wouldn't that create a brighter future for millennials trying to plan ahead?
Strong wage growth, a booming labor market, these are all causes for optimism. But when you actually look at labor force participation rates, we're seeing people work later for longer. Baby boomers are living longer than previously expected, and they're staying in their roles. They're staying in these senior roles or these advanced positions. And there's a cascading effect there. That means Gen X can advance, which then means millennials can advance. So a lot of people are worried about stasis in this period, that if boomers keep working for longer, we'll see fewer millennials be able to advance to those high earning positions.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Julia Carpenter. Julia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.